There was a little boy. He was probably about 8. Always in a lot of trouble. And more frustrating than even his being in trouble is that when you kind of called him on the trouble he was in, he often had the same answer. I didn't hear you. Well, it was hard to believe because so often when these things happened, he was right in front of you. How could he not have heard? He was being sarcastic. Not only was he misbehaving, but he was mocking as well. Thankfully for him, there was a very attentive nurse who noticed that he had some difficulty in responding if you spoke on one side of him. I can't remember if it was his left or his right. But it was consistent enough that she decided to give him a hearing test. And after her first test in sending him to the doctor, it was discovered he had no hearing in one ear. In fact, many times I suspect when he said, "I didn't hear you," he didn't. Moreover, in the midst of additional testing, it was discovered that he was dyslexic. Now, people who are dyslexic, people who have learning disabilities in general, are very, very bright. Their IQs are very, very high. But their learning disability often convinces them that they aren't very smart at all. Things seem to come so easily to everyone else and not to them. Today, we get another story where someone hears a voice but doesn't recognize it. Again and again and again, Samuel hears the voice of God and presumes it's someone else. In the gospel, we get an instance where John points out to his disciples the Lamb of God, the one that John has been talking about. And he must have talked about him quite a bit because one just immediately goes and follows Jesus. And then he does something very important. He tells. He shares the good news with his brother. This, it seems to me, is a wonderful kind of paradigm for what it means for each one of us in our quest to follow the Lord Jesus. Like this little boy, our hearing of God can become faulted. Our hearing of God sometimes gets blocked by some of the distractions that we have in our lives. It can be the distractions of work. It can be distractions of the busyness of life. It can be distractions by the many devices we have that make noise, play games, show movies. We can find ourselves distracted by the noise of the distress that is so much a part of our country these days. I think for most of us, though, the challenge to hear the voice of God is simply to do so with some deliberate choice. We have to make a decision that we want to hear the voice of God, and we have to demonstrate that our decision is authentic by doing the things that help us to be ready to hear the word of God. We have to make some time, first of all. Time is one of our most precious commodities. We never seem to have enough. What if the time we were to give to God made everything else in our lives more fulfilling, produced a deeper and greater sense of happiness? Every time we make decisions about time, what we're really doing is making decisions about the most precious resource that we have. How often is it that we don't really make intentional decisions with this notion of time. We just kind of let things happen. And then we have to ask ourselves in a second way, where was God active in my life today? What a wonderful examination of conscience at the end of the day. Where was God active in my life this day? Where did I see God's presence in my life? Where did I see the activity and love and blessings of God in the experiences I had this day? Where did I see the Lamb of God in my life and in the lives of others? If we do those first two things, making time to listen to the voice of God and seeking to discover where we can see the presence of God in our lives, making intentional decisions in our lives to think about an event in a way that made clear that God was present and active. How many people wrote off this little boy, not knowing that he couldn't hear very well and that he had a learning disability that wasn't clear? I don't know what ever became of him, but I wonder, how often do I do that with other people? See a particular action and immediately come to a conclusion about them. Then, once we have gotten kind of better at those types of things, hearing the Word of God and seeing God's presence in our lives, the next step is to tell, to share. There has to be someone in each of our lives that longs to hear the Word of God, whose life is broken, who needs some type of healing. There has to be someone in our lives who, quite frankly, could benefit by knowing and seeing and experiencing the loving presence of God. There's so much brokenness. There's so many people that are in need of healing. Who is it that we could share this tremendous good news as Andrew did with his brother Peter? Listening, seeing, sharing. These are the ways in which not only do we become a disciple, but we help others to do the same.